The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to a UAB Director's Chair. He's the athletic director of your UAB Blazers, Mark Ingram. I'm Tony Curry. We do the show every single week, and of course, it airs 5 days a week right here on the Tony Curry Radio platform, which, by the way, is blowing and going. We're now on Audacity, so another great platform that you can hear all Tony Curry Radio stuff. And of course, UAB Blazer fans now 2-1 on the season in college football. So it's always nice to visit with you after you've gotten a victory. And you did it against the Zips this past. Isn't it fun? I mean, the last couple of years has been a little difficult before that little fun. But yeah, you take a W anyway, you get it. And that certainly was a nice victory for the UAB Blazers this past week. We'll talk about that game first. Your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head. I was glad to get the win. I don't think anybody's as bad as everybody always wants to say that they are. You know, Akron had not scored. But they played a game against Wyoming, who I think is, you know, they're usually a solid team. It was a 10-0 game. And then they had to play Nebraska at Nebraska. I'm not sure that score was a fair representation of anything Akron related. They do some good things. They're well coached. You know, their coach, Moorhead, was, you know, used to be at Mississippi State, is a really good coach. And so, yeah, it was a hard fought game, but we got the win. And you know, we've lost games that were that close too in Coach Dilfer's era. And so, hey, take it any way that you can get it. Would I prefer to have had a more convincing win? Sure. Would I like to have played better in different spots? Well, of course. But I also think we did a lot of good things, and ultimately we did what we had to do to win the game, and that's what's most important.
I heard Trent at a presser a couple days ago. He was asking questions or being asked questions about the course of the Tennessee game going on this weekend, and he was talking about, you know, it's important that we show up, that we have energy, that we look like we belong. He wants people in the stands who don't watch UAB football regularly, and if you're an SEC fan, you probably don't. But you want to look at this team and go, wow, this UAB squad, they really get after it, despite the fact that they're maybe oversized or undersized, depending on how you look at it, and maybe not the best football team that Tennessee's going to see all year long. At least they try really hard. They get after it. Trent has been on every major stage there is in college and professional sports, including, of course, a Super Bowl winner. What kind of messages does he convey to his team when they go up to Rocky Top this weekend, so they're not starstruck and they realize that, hey, this is just another football team that can be beaten?
Yeah, well, the first thing you got to do, and he and I talked about this before he took the job, is go to the stadium. Yep. Go to the stadium on Friday. That's what I should have said, not go to the stadium, but go to the stadium on Friday. So some coaches do not do that. Some do, some don't. And I personally, as a player, we always did. And the value that I saw in it is, you know, if you look at UAB this weekend, the players at UAB, do they really want their very first time in Neyland Stadium to be on Saturday when they're warming up? Because it's really tall. It's really big. It's going to be really loud. It's this huge, you know, cathedral type, you know, venue. And by going on Friday, number one, you kind of get that wonder what it's like feeling out of the way. Mm-hmm. There's anxiety that I know this sounds silly, but little things like, hey, go find your locker. Where's your locker going to be? Yeah. Where's the bathroom? Where's the training room? Where will you get taped? Where will you do your pre-game, whatever you do? Where will that happen? And then what's the path out to the field? Okay, I know. Like, you don't realize that those kind of things do create anxiety before you're there the very first time. And they're not consciously thinking about where's the restroom, but just all these things that you can do to create familiarity with the players starts to settle and create, you know, comfort. As a fan, we refer to it as driveway anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, we want you to know where this is why we try to sell parking passes on the season. Well, from your house, what is the route to get to the stadium? And then where are you going to park? And then once you've parked, you know, where do you sit and what's the best gate to use? These little things do create anxiety amongst people. So it's the same thing for a player. So the first thing is go there on Friday, see the stadium, get like you feel like you know what the place looks like. And then you got to say the things you just said, like, hey, man, we practice every day. They practice every day. Don't let their uniform intimidate you. Just go play the game and play hard and play with intensity. And let's show them who we really are. And at the same time, what Josh Heupel has to do is tell his team, hey, look, just because, you know, they lost to Navy or they, it, you know, came, you know, had close games with Alabama State and Akron doesn't mean that they can't beat you. He's got to convince their guys that you're not just going to roll the ball out. They played a great game against Georgia, and it would be easy for them to kind of let down, like, okay, we're just going to roll the ball out there and win. Well, you're not just going to roll the ball out there and win, and you better be ready for it. So both sides are – there's a psychological game that both sides have to play.
You know, I think the one thing that I saw this interesting stat now, 7 games in a row, Tennessee and Georgia have gone over their team totals in the first half. They score a lot of points when they play each other the last 7 games. And when you think about those two squads, you don't traditionally think, certainly Georgia, you think a defensive game. Tennessee's offense, Aguilar is the real deal. I mean, and Gunnar Stockton is a real deal too. They both had little coming out parties. But man, their offense looked really good. Tennessee's did.
Yeah. I saw the first, about the first hour, and I don't mean first hour of, you know, 60-minute game. I mean, like, I had about an hour to watch as much football as I could watch before heading to Protective for our game. And it was 21-7 when I had to leave. And Tennessee looked like, I mean, their first 3 series, I thought, holy cow, they might be the best team in the country. And the way, because I mean, I'd like you, I'm like, Georgia's got to have a good defense. They always do.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my Lord, these guys look incredible. And whether it's Kirby figuring it out or they were just kind of in the zone there for a minute and kind of finally settled down to earth, I don't know. But obviously that turned. But yeah, they looked incredible, and good for that kid to be able to show up and be able to play. And like our guys kind of prove, hey, I'm a good player. I mean, he's got an interesting story how he wasn't playing and he went to a junior college and somebody wasn't even playing at the junior college. And then somebody asked him at a different community college, hey, we're having tryouts. Why don't you come out? His dad talked him into it or something like that. And he was in San Francisco, and there was something like he took a train ride for an hour every day to get to practice and to get home. And that's a wild story, and good for him.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to share a story before I forget to. You realize when I was in high school and in college, to prepare before on dates, I used to drive to the girl's house first, so I make sure I didn't get lost.
Stalker. That's called stalking.
I wanted to make sure, because I'm really bad with directions. I'm still really bad with directions. I mean, I don't know what without the phone, the GPS thing. When we see back in the days, people don't understand this. We used to have to write down the directions. Take a left here, and if you went to a place where there were like 6 or 7 turns, man, and you're picking up a girl at 8:30 on a Saturday night, and you're driving by our house 4 or 5 times, she's like, you look like an idiot, right? So I would always drive the day before. I would always make sure that I was on time and that I knew what her house looked like, and it would just kind of get those kids in my head, butterflies and everything else. So I would do that, you know, every single time, just to make sure that I get her house in time. So UAB football players can do that before the big game. And I know this game holds a kind of a special place in your heart because this is your alma mater. How do you feel when you go back to the old hallowed halls of Neyland Stadium?
Well, listen, there's nobody I want to beat more than them, frankly. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a Blazer, and I want to win, and I want the Blazers to win. I'd like for Tennessee to otherwise win every game this year, but not Saturday. And but we've got, look, my wife, Amy, and I both went to school there, and we've got a lot of friends, you know, of course, who went to school there with us. And then I worked there for 11 years on 2 different occasions. So I also know a lot of their fans and a lot of their donors and that kind of thing. So a lot of them have been reaching out this week, you know, looking forward to seeing you, that kind of stuff, which is nice.
Yeah.
I know a couple of people still in the football office and several in the athletic department. But you know, I've been gone now for 13 years since I was last there, and you know, times change and people turn over. And so I don't want to say it's like any other away game. That's not true, but hey man, I want the Blazers to show up and look great.
Yeah. And I again, and best of luck to you. I know that line's like 40 or something like that. And I, of course, a lot of people expect Tennessee to run all over them, but I do think it's a good spot for them. And it certainly makes a big difference when you're coming 2-1 as opposed to 1-2, because it's just going to grow some confidence for that football team. So I think that's a really good thing. Hey, before we move on anymore, we want to talk about a couple of basketball games coming up. You talked about some exhibition games, and I'll throw this out. You got one against Western Kentucky, once against Vanderbilt. First of all, how do exhibition games play out? And I guess the first question as a fan would be, why don't we just play for real?
Well, a lot of times those other teams don't want to play you for real, you know, or there's not room in the schedule, or maybe they'd be happy to play you, but they don't, but they can't. They, you know, hey, man, the only, I got one more date available. It's this. And they go, man, I'd love to play you, but I'm already full. I already have somebody that, you know, basketball, they schedule year to year.
Yeah.
And so they don't. It's more complicated, frankly, than football, which does it years in advance. So, yeah, we've got Vanderbilt on the 23rd, and we have Western Kentucky on the 29th. And these games are not in the season ticket package. And so what we're doing is, when people ask us about creative ways about figuring out the revenue sharing equation, we want to dedicate these funds to our revenue sharing support for basketball. So I'm hoping that we'll have a big crowd. The games don't count, but it's like a scrimmage. It's an organized scrimmage, essentially, but officials, and we're going to run it like a game. You're going to feel like it's any other game, and gives us a chance to go play against two tough teams. And I think the beauty in it, Tony, is especially in the modern era. I don't know what Western Kentucky and Vanderbilt have in terms of players, but we have 12 new players, and they probably have that or half that or something, but a lot of new players. And you've been practicing, but you're practicing against each other. And even when you have sort of a, call it the starters against a scout team, so to speak, this when a coach says a play to run, the scouts know what that play is. And so it's just hard to know sometimes who you really are until you play. So this will give us a chance to go play two tough teams, well, historically tough teams, and see who we are. So it's good, and I'm hoping that we'll get a good crowd here. You get a chance to see our new team, which, again, 12 new guys. Crazy. And see how they play against some tough competition.
Yeah, go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com for your ticket information. And of course, you can get tickets there. And I kind of chuckle when you say 12 new players. You're like, hold on, how many are on a roster? I'm looking forward to the season because I know Andy is a great coach. Okay. I know he's a really, really good coach. He's good for 20 games, but I'm really interested to see how he holds it together. I he's not a hothead by any stretch. I know he likes to scream a little bit. I love his post game conferences because he's a numbers guy. I am too, but I'm really interested to see how this team looks early in the season, midway through the season, at the end of the season. I want to see how this team grows because it's reality TV at its best. I mean, we're going to be watching it from start to finish. And the fact that no one on this basketball team has played with anyone else is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, and Andy has had, I think, at least 7 new players every year that he's been here. 7. Yeah. So it's not, and I think 1 year was 9. It's not that big of a stretch, but so it's a challenge he's faced before. It comes back to, why does playing this exhibition game matter? We tend to get better as the year goes on because they're finally figuring out his defensive scheme and able to execute properly. And same thing with offensive plays. They're executing properly. And you think, well, they've been practicing all summer. They have, but practicing at full game speed is just hard to simulate. And it's hard to simulate the defense being at full game speed. And so it's just different. And like I said, and they all the other players know all the play calls and everything. So it's like, it's just hard to simulate all that stuff. So having a game is critical.
There you go. Breaking news about the windows, if you will, the transfer portal going from 2 windows to 1 window. That is some of breaking news. What exactly does that mean? I know I saw something like 982 different players actually would have been affected by this last season because they partook in that second window, which is now closed. What does that mean? How does that affect coaches? It seems like coaches seem to be happy with this.
Well, the concept here is that they've been, you said 982 guys got in the portal in the spring. Well, that's 982 guys that during spring practice, the coaches thought they were going to have.
Yep.
They were going to be a backup, provide depth, whatever. And in some cases, there were probably some starters too. Probably not as many, but some. And then all of a sudden it's May and the coach has to go find depth at those positions. And so you don't even know who your team is really until June.
Yeah.
And that's wild. And it takes, again, we're talking about basketball, which is five guys on the court. Football is 11 on offense, 11 on defense, and your specialists, you know, that's just your starting group. And so to try to coordinate all that and be ready to play a game that looks worth a darn by, you know, the 1st of September is an impossible task. And I know nobody's going to feel sorry for the coaches because people just sort of think, well, they're so well compensated, then who cares? You know, fire them if they don't. You know, it's like, hey, man, they've worked their whole career to get here, and it's a high-risk, high-reward job, and they know that. But there's got to be some balance of fairness to be able to go and compete. And so what this is doing is it's closing that spring window, making it December only, so at least – or winter only. So at least through the entire spring, you know who you have. Now, what they haven't figured out yet – is what are the dates of that one window and dead periods around that. A dead period means you literally cannot communicate in either direction to a recruit. So you think, well, what's the point of that? Well, the point of that is if we make a bowl game, but there are some number of teams that don't, while we're at the bowl game and prepping for the bowl game, you're out recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so on some level, and coaches have complained about this for years, long before paying players and transfer portal, they would just say, you know, if it's not a dead period and we're at a bowl practice, we're disadvantaged because we had a good year and made a bowl game.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it. And holiday is part of it. And being now you're trying to be respectful to our coaches and their families, but you're also trying to be respectful to those players, the prospects and their families around the holidays. So it's a mix of those things. The interesting thing, Tony, that I think is wild is there hasn't yet been anybody talk about, well, what happens in the spring when a kid goes, yeah, well, I'm transferring anyway.
Yeah.
You can't make them stay.
No, you can't.
You can't force them. They're not in prison. You can't force them to stay at your school. You can't say that they can't go to the other school. And can we say, well, you can leave Texas and go to Oklahoma, but Oklahoma can't put you on a scholarship or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
What is that? Because
yeah.
This is going to happen this spring. Let me go ahead and tell you. And it's going to be a lawsuit this spring. So we need to have an answer for that. I haven't heard any conversation about it.
This is the UAB Director's Chair. He's Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director, joins us every single week. And of course, you can hear this show 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio on the TKR, a host of radio stations and networks. And of course, now on Audacity, not to mention, of course, you can hear it live and whatever your favorite podcast. We'll check that out. Big Tennessee game this weekend, basketball right around the corner. Final question. Did you see, I'm assuming you saw This Is Spinal Tap, and will you see the second one?
I never saw This Is Spinal Tap.
I never did either. And people are like, dude, you're in rock and roll. How in the hell did you not see that movie?
I just thought it was too goofy. I don't know. It's too goofy.
I'm just not a movie guy, so I just never saw it. But I mean, I'm kind of glad because there's still some things I want to see.
My college roommate really believed they were a legitimate band.
Yeah.
And we argued about it. He had a Spinal Tap CD. And I was like, do you not see that that is Squiggy from Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley? Do you not see that? Look at this picture of this guy. Look at his face. He just refused to believe it.
Yeah.
He was Lenny, whichever one he was. But I never saw that movie, man. I mean, maybe I should now. Maybe I should go back and watch.
No, I kind of want to go see it. I'm a huge Rob Reiner fan. Everything all the way from back from All in the Family, but I just love his directing. And I know it's going to be good because he's part of it. So as long as he's directing it 30 years later, I know it's going to have to be pretty decent. But they say it's just like the original and this 30 years later. So that's what rock and roll is. So
it's a funny group of comedians. And I couldn't name any of them, but I know a lot of stuff that they're all in. And I look, it might be good. I thought like I really liked School of Rock with Jack Black.
I did too.
So maybe I should see it because maybe it would be, maybe I would like it just as much.
Go watch Play Misty for me and it'll make you feel better. All right, my man. Hey, thank you so much. Best of luck this weekend there at Rocky Top. Go get them, and we will catch up next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.